On a second Community Connection on AM 1400 K1, I got the opportunity to spend a little bit of time this morning with candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat, Kevin Hearn, and he's joining us today by telephone. Thanks for calling in this morning, Kevin. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, Charlie. Good to talk to you as well.
And, Kevin, just as I look at the current state of affairs in our Congress, I can find room to compliment them. On the other hand, I sure would like to see more work on things like the basics, like the budget, which, you know, really should have been passed back in end of September, but this is where we are today. Before we do that, though, let me just help you review a little bit. You are running for the seat currently being occupied by Jim Bridenstine, who, as far as I know, is still the nominee for NASA. Either way, he has pledged that he will not seek re-election. He came into office 6 years ago with the pledge that he would run for no more than 3 terms and then step down because one of the things, the models that he liked was the citizen legislator. And I think you kind of build that same image as someone who has come from another profession other than politics and want to step up and take the leadership role for a while.
Yes, Charlie, and thank you. Just to refresh everybody who I am, first I'd like to tell everyone that I'm a strong Christian and I'm married to the lady who led me to Christ when I was 31 years old and forever changed my life. 3 children, just became a grandfather for the first time about 9 months ago.
Congratulations. It's a wonderful thing.
Thank you. It changes your perspective even more so, as you know.
Yes.
I've been a small business owner with McDonald's restaurants for over 20 years, but also involved in many other small businesses and banking and real estate development, manufacturing companies, just a lot of small business stuff. And, you know, I'm a guy that signed both sides of the paycheck for 21 years and a few months, and it really gives you a different perspective on all the craziness coming from Washington, D.C., and the regulations and the tax policies and everything. It just changes what seems like every moment of the year. Just the McDonald's loan to give everybody a perspective, the Obamacare initiative or issue or insurance, whatever we're going to call it, cost me $200,000 last year just in my McDonald's restaurant. So I have a strong opinion on some of the stuff coming out of D.C. But, you know, with all that said, I think along with other business people in America, especially small businessmen and women, the real joy is seeing people get an opportunity to come in on the ground floor, get on that first rung of the ladder, climb the ladder, have the opportunities to be successful, create some ability to take risk and work hard and, you know, get some access to capital and go start their own businesses. And that's truly experiencing the American dream. And that's what I've seen. I'm a product of the Ronald Reagan American dream. But now, as you alluded to, I'm running for United States Congress here in the 1st District, and I'm running as a businessman. That's all I know. I've never ran for political office, and I'm certainly not a politician, nor am I an attorney. I won't ever be politically correct. I've been accused of that many times, and nor do I plan on starting now. I just want to speak the truth and go do a job and then come home. But, you know, as I've traveled around this district, you know, you hear people feel like they've lost hope in the American process of, you know, going, submitting a budget, doing the appropriations process. But yet, Charlie, if you went to work every day and you didn't do your job, you wouldn't get paid yet for the last 40 years, we've only done what you just opened, your opening comment said, which was the budget appropriations process. It's only been done 4 times in 40 years, with the last time being 1996. So we've got to get back to regular order. And, you know, as I share this message across the district, I've had tremendous support, you know, in the Bartlesville area from folks like State Representative Earl Sears has been a tremendous help, State Insurance Commissioner John Doak. We've got endorsements from Trump's national field director, Stuart Jarley, who started American for Prosperities in the state of Oklahoma. And, you know, a local boy, actually the nephew of the late Denny Garrison, Brigadier General Hopper Smith, who just retired last October, has been tremendously helpful in what we're doing. So thank you again for letting me tell folks who I am.
Well, and I think those names that you mentioned, and you're not, I don't believe the person to carelessly drop names. These are individuals who have, in writing, in speeches, elsewhere, public comments made that they do support your candidacy, and I think that's important.
It is. And what I think important is support about their Oklahomans. They understand the values of Oklahomans. They understand the values of what the 1st District folks look for, the principles, which, you know, in the 1st District, I would say it's different than some of the other districts around the state. But, you know, they understand that. They understand who I am. They spend a lot of time talking to me. They understand what my principles are and that I won't waver from those. And that's why they've given me their support.
Well, the 1st District is among the most compact districts just because you have the metropolitan city of Tulsa sitting at the center of it. It's just not like 2nd District where you're trying to cover the entire eastern portion of the state from the northern to the southern border. We're much more of a homogeneous district because we're, I think, closer together geographically. Likely the things that are important in Broken Arrow are similar to what's important in Bartlesville or in Tahlequah.
Yeah, I would tell you, though, that, you know, Congressman Bridenstine has said many times over the years to many people, and I've heard this and I've shared this with other folks like at the RMS Forum, that you will never win this congressional seat unless you can win over the hearts and minds of the folks in, you know, the Bartons and the folks out in Wagner County, because they need to know that you care about them. And between those two, there's about, you know, 45,000-46,000 Republican votes, which is, you know, 25% of the voting population. So you have to work hard everywhere. You can't just sit in Tulsa County and worry about, you know, this part of the county, because now with it being a normal race, June 26th, there'll be a, you know, big turnout, all the gubernatorial candidates, lieutenant governor, all the different state races, plus the five congressional seats are all up for re-election. And so there'll be a lot of people come out for this. So you have to focus on the entire district.
You do have to focus on the entire district. But at the same time, we want to hear, you know, your aims, your goals, not only who you are, which you're excellent at describing, but again, when you talk about some of the things that Congress should be doing, you alluded to, you know, if I didn't do my job on time, the boss, first of all, is going to frown heavily on that. But if I continue not doing my job from September to the middle of February now, probably wouldn't deserve to have the job or get paid.
Well, there's not a businessman in America that's successful. I would say that's even made it more in a couple of years. If they didn't look at their budget prior to the beginning of the next year, whenever that fiscal part of the year starts, whether it's January 1 or in our case, October 1, and do a budget and say, here's what we need to trim, this is what we need to, you know, plus up, and then go find the funding and how do the mechanisms of funding that budget go. And we just don't do that. I mean, you know, this latest deal, and I love the military. My dad, as I've talked to you, and I know you're in the Air Force, and, you know, my dad retired from the Air Force. He is still going strong at 83 years old. But, you know, what we did is we just allowed the Democrats to leverage the national security of this country to plus up the funding for Planned Parenthood. I mean, it's crazy. You know, we're trading the national security and the sovereignty of this country for more abortions. I don't know how much more insane it can get in Washington, D.C. And we've got to get our hands around this, because we just saw the budget from the president submitted yesterday, $4.4 trillion budget. We're taking in more revenue than we've ever taken in as a country, yet now in the budget process, and again, we know this will get hammered out in the House and Senate, but we're built in now $1 trillion deficits. Nothing less than a $1 trillion deficit.
Yeah.
And we can't, our kids and grandkids, I mean, you are going to be fine, but our kids and grandkids are paying a debt that we're just living insatiably on just crazy spending right now.
And you, I mean, not sure who to attribute the two. I think it was Reagan, but either way, you can't spend yourself out of debt.
No, and we need to grow our economy. But what's crushing us right now, we have people who've worked their entire life. We know our population is aging. They worked their entire life for the idea of retiring, putting their money into a savings account, and receiving what used to be a normal 4 or 5% return, and today it's like 0.5% return.
Yeah,
so folks are having to go back to work that are elderly. Well, right now, as most know, roughly our interest rate is roughly 1.5 to 2%, and our interest on our national debt is about $300 billion. Mm-hmm. So for every 1% it goes up, we increase the interest on the debt by $200 billion.
Wow.
1%.
Yeah.
So how are we going to get back to, you know, 2 or 3% and increase our interest in our debt by $600 billion? We do that, and our interest in our debt is more than we spend on national defense,
which should be our number one expenditure.
it's nuts. I mean, it's constitutional. You know, the defense of this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I mean, everyone understands that, but they don't understand it when it comes to what we need to be doing on the spending side. And, you know, I know we needed to, you know, I'm sure take care of some other social programs. I think we have like 37 job programs we're spending $25 billion a year on. I say get a job. That's the best training program in the world. You know, we talk about social programs. You know, President Reagan said the best social program is a job. Donald Trump said in his State of the Union 2 weeks ago that the best social program is a big, fat paycheck. And we need to get people back to work, and we're not going to be able to do it if we keep crushing this country with crazy debt and crazy interest on our debt.
Absolutely. And this is just one job of the elected officials. Money bills are supposed to originate in the House. So this is the job you're interviewing for, the money bills, the budget, the expenditures, those things that should have the tightest scrutiny of just about anything that Congress does.
Well, you know, right now, I think the last time I looked this up was about 6 months ago, that the average number of days spent in Washington, D.C. by our elected officials is 139 days a year. Now, okay, so we come back to the district and we listen to people, and you know, technology allows us to listen in a broader sense with calls and access to emails. So it's, but we have so much to do, and we're spending, it seems like, less time in Washington, D.C. actually getting the votes done. We need to get those things done so that we can fix that issue and get that out of the way. You know, until we do that, we're not going to ever get back any sanity. Just doing, you know, there's much ado about Article 1, Section 8, about what we're supposed to spend money on, the 18 enumerated powers, but very little conversation. You've heard a little bit of this with Senator Lankford. You heard a little bit of this with Senator Rand Paul. Actually, you heard a lot from Senator Rand Paul in his oration from the floor.
Yes, we
did. Senate trying to get him to do regular order. That we have got to get back to the normal appropriations process, which is Article 1, Section 9. So Article 1, Section 8 says this is what you're spending on. Article 1, Section 9 says this is what you're supposed to do in the process of determining how much you're supposed to spend, and we don't do it.
This is something that, you know, as a freshman legislator, you're probably not going to have a lot of initial influence on the speaker, although I hope the speaker listens to every legislator in the body, regardless of whether they're a freshman or have been there for way too long. Getting back to regular order, it's going to be a Herculean task, and I wish whoever gets elected the best of luck on that.
Well, you know, Charlie, the thing about this is, if you go back to 1990, first let's just digress for just a minute. 20 years ago, we actually had budget surpluses for 4 years,
yes, 97,
8, 9, and 2000, under a Democrat, a President Clinton, and a House and a Senate that was run by the Republicans. But you ask yourself what happened. 2 years prior to that, we had the contract with America, 1994, people like Senator Colburn, Dr. Colburn, Steve Largent, people like that came in office, you know, roughly 100 of them. And they knew who each other was before they ever went to D.C. I mean, what I'm saying is after they won their primaries or their respective general elections, they were talking to each other.
Yes.
I think day one, hour one, minute one starts the moment you're confidently assured that you're going to be the candidate, and you start reaching out to people across this country that are coming in for the first time and building coalitions then, on the premise that they're coming in as business owners, former job creators, or current job creators, and you start building alliances and building a stronghold before you get to D.C. and get into this quagmire called a swamp, and you start building, you know, aligning ideas so that when you go in as a collective block of, you know, 20 or 30, and right now we know there's 35 or so House members that are not coming back. But how do you start early. You don't wait to get to D.C. with all the rat race. You start early. And you start building a plan before you get there.
Well, part of your plan, of course, is getting there. And I don't know your schedule. I know that I see you in and around the Bartlesville every once in a while. I know you're talking to the voters of Washington County and the rest of the 1st Congressional District. You're updating your website frequently as the issues evolve and change. But when are we going to see you again in Bartlesville?
We'll be there Thursday. Actually,
okay.
Speaking at Oklahoma Wesleyan Thursday night, I think is at 7 o'clock. Actually, I'm going to stop, and I'm in downtown Tulsa early in the morning. I'm in south down in Coweta area at lunch, and then I'm back up into Bartlesville that night. So three different speaking engagements on that day, two today in different parts of the district. So it's going very well. We're working hard, spreading the message of job creation, putting people back to work, and I mean, people get it.
Yeah.
They just need it. You know, people need to get back to work so that they appreciate the liberties they're given when they get a paycheck.
Kevin, just real quickly, I only have a few seconds. If somebody wants to support your campaign, how do they do it?
Yes, hernforcongress.com, H-E-R-N for Congress.com. It's a great place to start. We also have our Facebook page at Kevin R. Hearn, and that will get you to what you need.
Thank you very much. Kevin Hearn with us this morning on 1400 K1. Insure your home, car, boat, health, life, and business all at one place. Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5400.